Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. And now Marcia Pilgrim continues the story of Office Wife.
I've come to the big decision at last. I'm taking the bull by the horns and getting a divorce from my husband. It hasn't been easy. All this time I've been saying to myself, there must be some other way. Events will shape themselves. But events don't shape themselves. You have to do something about them. As for Jeff, there are still lots of queer things I don't understand. For instance, Benny Puller's just given him a marvelous job with his corporation. And Uncle Tressiter, of course, is furious. Oh, it's preposterous, but I'm not going to worry anymore. And I'm dying to talk to someone besides Harry Palmer. So, here I am on my way to see Angela Tennant. Angela's pretty worldly, but at least she'll understand.
You're getting a divorce? Oh, that's the first sensible thing I've heard you say for months, darling. Hand over your gloves.
Oh, not another thanks for a while.
I will, then. Are you going to get rid of Jeffy and Mary Palmer?
I didn't say that, actually.
Oh, but surely you will. The boy's crazy about you. Half your luck. First Jeff and now Harry. Jeff was a crook and all that, but at least he was frightfully good-looking. How are you going about it all?
The divorce.
Well, of course, darling.
Well, Mendelssohn, you know Mendelssohn, Granger and Ward, he said that your husband keeps away from you for 3 years, and then you file a petition for restoration of something or other.
Conjugal rights.
That's it. And then when he still doesn't come near you, the courts give you a decree for constructive desertion.
Yes, but you're not going to hang about like a wilting flower for 3 years, are you?
What else can I do?
Really, Marcia, tell Jeff you want one right away.
But you can't get one for desertion unless you wait 3 years.
There are other grounds, aren't there?
Oh, that's out of the question. You know that darn well.
Do you mean to tell me you're going to let 3 years slip out of your life just because of a rotter like your husband?
It's my life, isn't it?
Yes, but hang it, Marcia. You'd be such a silly little Victorian idiot. Get your marriage cleaned up any way you can. The quicker the better.
No. I won't even discuss any. Well, I won't discuss it, that's all.
Oh, if you ask me, my dear, you're being a perfect dill. 3 years. Makes me sick. Heaven's sake, have some sense. Who do you think's going to care two hoots if there's some tuppenny halfpenny scandal?
I'm going to care.
Someone should take you in hand. It's obvious why you're going the long way around. You're hoping that in 3 years, Jeff might come crawling back to you so that you can forgive him, oh, so graciously. Allow him to come creeping back into your life and your money.
That's utterly untrue.
Well, let's see you act like an adult instead of going on like a nymph in pigtails. Oh, I could scream at your stupidity.
Just a minute, Angela. Why should you be so interested?
You came to see me, didn't you?
Why should you be anxious for me to get a divorce as though my life depended on it? Anyway, I think you had something to gain, as though your life depended on me marrying Harry Palmer.
Oh, infatuous, darling.
Well, why are you so concerned? You don't get angry for nothing. You prefer to act bored to extinction.
Listen, my little one, I think Jeff's no earthly use to you, and Palmer's your ideal mate. I'm fond of you both. I want to see you together.
Yeah.
Don't say you're like that. Back up and whiz down another of these things.
Oh, no thanks, Angela, really. Look, I'm sorry to jump down your neck, but I'm on edge. I think I'll push off.
Just as you like, darling, but you take my advice. Marry Palmer as quickly as you can. Waiting turns one so sour, you know.
I'll think about it. Bye-bye. Let's have lunch together one day.
Not to. Phone me. Bye-bye. Chicken-witted little goat. What's Bendigo and Company's number? She thinks I'm going to wait 3 years to get my hands on some of that money of hers. Oh, hello? Bendigo and Company? Mr. Palmer, please. 3 years... 12 months is too long. Oh, that you, Harry? It's Angela here. Listen, I want to see you. You'd better come round to my place tonight. I don't care what you are doing. I want to see you. Yes. And you'd better be there, chummy, if you know what's wise. All right. 9 o'clock.
Now you listen to me, Pullum. I want to know, what's the idea of giving Jeff Pilgrim an executive position with your corporation?
Whose corporation is it?
Answer me.
Okay. He knows his job. I needed a man, so I hired him.
Do you know what I'm beginning to think? What I'm forced to think? You know something about Pilgrim and the fraud that you kept to yourself. It wasn't too utterly fantastic to even suggest. I'd say you were mixed up in it.
Well, don't bust anything, Cressida. That's okay with me.
I've a right to know, Benny. I'm too closely tied up with you in business just to sit back and say nothing.
I'll pay that. But you needn't worry. Pilgrim will have nothing to do with your affairs. Nothing whatever.
But why is he here at all? Why? The chap's a crook, Benny. You know that as well as I do.
The jury didn't think so a couple of weeks back.
I don't care a tinker's benediction for the jury.
You know, you've got me over a barrel.
I don't want you over a barrel. I simply want to know the reason for an inexplicable state of affairs.
I'm sorry, but no dice.
You won't say?
I'd like to. I've known you for a long time, and I don't want to fall out with you. But this time, I must ask you to, well, trust me sort of thing. You say this looks odd. Sure, it looks odd. Before long, you'll know the score, and you'll not only understand, you'll be very thankful. Will you leave it at that?
No, Pullum, I won't. I won't be made a fool of again.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, Benny, I've got a stick to wave, too. You're floating an issue of stock to the public, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. So what?
I can pull some weight in this city. Your stock goes on the market in 2 weeks' time. And if you've not given me chapter and verse of this business by then, I'll brute it pretty widely. That you've not only one crook on your staff, you've got two. Pilgrim and Bronson.
So it's a fight, is it, Cressida?
You've 2 weeks, Benny. Take it or leave it. 2 weeks.
Well, here I am, Angela. Just because we're more or less on the same team, do you have to stand over me at every opportunity?
What's the matter, darling? Don't you like being told?
Not on the phone at the office.
You seem to be forgetting where you stand, Harry. You seem to be forgetting just what I know, and why I'm not likely to forget any of the relevant details. I keep a diary. I put everything I know about you, and the swindle, and the dates, and all you've told me. That diary by itself is enough to put you in a cage for years. So next time I ring you at the office or anywhere else, you jump to it. Understand? All right, then. I saw Marcia today.
Well, what about it?
She's talking about waiting 3 years before she gets her divorce. 3 years before she can possibly marry you. And it's too long altogether.
What can I do about it? If her grounds are going to be desertion, she...
If Marcia won't concoct grounds, we'll supply them for her.
Uh-uh. Nothing doing.
I'm not asking you, Palmer. I'm telling you, if you're prepared to wait, I'm not.
It's all very well for you to stand there and oppose talking tough, Angela, but I'm not a miracle man.
How are you making out with Marcia now?
If she were free, I could marry her tomorrow.
Well, there you are, darling. She should be putty.
For what?
What do you generally do with putty? You mold it the way it should go.
The word for you is avid.
No, darling. Impatient.
I've just given you £1,700. Can't you be satisfied for a while? Do you want to bleed me to death before we're properly started? Don't be so infernally greedy, or you'll lose the lot for us both.
I want to make certain of her. 3 years is too long. So take your choice.
I tell you, I have no choice.
Yes, you have. Either hurry her divorce along, or tell her you're in a financial jam and borrow some money from her. But whatever you do, do it quickly. Do you understand me, Palmer? Do it quickly. I won't wait.
Yes, Hooper, what is it?
It's not the end of the week, Mr. Puller. But I've turned up a thing or two I think you'll be interested in.
Okay, let's have it.
I haven't much background stuff on either of them yet, but I do know this. Palmer and the tenant woman are pretty thick.
How do you know?
Have you ever noticed the way people go into other people's front doors? Normally, they ring the bell, wait, the door opens, there are greetings on the doorstep, and finally in goes the visitor, talking as he goes. I study these things.
I'm not questioning your judgment. Get on with it.
I was out on North Shore Drive last night, a bit after nine, in Mrs. Tennant's block of flats, as a matter of fact, and along came Palmer. They didn't see me, don't worry, but Mrs. Tennant opened her door to him at once. In he nipped, and the door closed behind him, just as quick as that. Furtive describes him.
Okay. Palmer sees Mrs. Tennant on the sly. So what? They're both over 21.
Well, here's point number two. You're not supposed to be able to do this, but I managed to get someone to take a look at Mrs. Tennant's bank account. And do you know what? 10 days ago, she paid in £1,700.
She did, eh?
Bendigo's were out £3,800, and £1,800 of it was never accounted for. What became of it? Could Palmer be paying the tenant woman hush money? Or are they using her account for a hideaway? Or are we barking up the wrong tree, and does Mrs. Tennant punt a little?
Can you find out?
I can find out. What do you think, Mr. Fuller?
Hooper, I think we're on to something. They must be working it together, those two. It couldn't be anything else. Harry Palmer and Angela Tennant, with Pilgrim the Fall Guy and me sitting on the fence. Well, it shouldn't be long now. It shouldn't be more than a week or two before we can put the arm on them. And I'm going to enjoy it. I'm beginning to take quite a dislike to Mr. Palmer.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.